What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
I cannot wait to get to work.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It is Ben's vision. We do it twice a week here in the offseason on the Spiegel and Holmes show, taking a look at the current roster and wondering how a player or position group might fit in Ben Johnson's vision. A little bit of backdrop here. We know it's not going to be the exact same offense that Ben Johnson ran in Detroit. He said so at his press conference in the context especially of the quarterback.
This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him, as I said before, to continue to grow and develop.
So I take that to mean what he says about the playbook and the play design and the quarterback. But in terms of personnel, as we do the Ben's Vision segment, after 3 years as the visionary of the Lions offense, I think their personnel choices are extremely relevant. That's the backdrop for the segment from my perspective. Today we focus on the running back position and principally DeAndre Swift.
To Swift. Look at Swift. Take it to the Washington side of the 50. Down the sideline he goes. And he's galloping home for the game's first touchdown.
There's your Devin Hester moment. You're only two plays off. And I don't see any flags on the field. That's the area where they've been getting going to C-gap, Jim, outside and wide. And Swift shows off the great instincts, the cut, and then the burst to finish.
Ah, yes, DeAndre Swift finishing up the first year of his contract as a new Bear. Mark Grody, tell the kids about DeAndre Swift's production.
DeAndre Swift this season, 253 rushes, 959 yards, 6 touchdowns. That is a 3.8 average carrying the football. He also had 42 catches, 386 yards, and 0 touchdowns in that regard. So that was his season this year. I'm just looking at some of the individual games, too.
Yes.
And I had to check and make sure I was right on this. He only went over 100 yards once this season.
Wow.
That was probably from the carry you just heard. That was against at Washington, 18 carries, 129 yards, but did not go over 100 yards once this season. Obviously did not get to 1,000. And here's the thing about the Swift career, as we kind of do the diagnosis on DeAndre Swift. This is heading into his fifth season. He's had only one 1,000-yard year in his entire career so far.
I think we learned what DeAndre Swift is like as a running back, and it was different than some of us realized. DeAndre Swift is not a guy that you want to run too much between the tackles. I talked about it plenty during the course of the year. You know that thing that running backs do where they attack the hole, but they still perhaps wait a little bit. They're a little bit picky and choosy about their spots. They just kind of move a little, and then they dart when they see that glimmer of sunlight. DeAndre Swift is a guy who would just kind of dive headlong into what the hole appeared to be, and he would get you 2 yards, or he'd get you 3 yards in between the tackles. How many times do we see that growth? He would either do that or try to bounce it outside and make something happen on the outside.
Yeah, I capitalize, and I think I've said versions of that this year. He just doesn't use blocking well. You know what I mean? He's just not great at that. I mean, you think about like Saquon Barkley, really good at using blockers. A guy on the Bears who's really good at using blocking when they pass it to him in shallow areas, or the times that he carried the football this year for the Bears was DJ Moore. DJ Moore was really good at following his blocker. So I think about that.
It's a really good, really good way to put it.
That was one of the bugaboos for Swift this year, I thought.
And I think this player, it's a really interesting one because he's very capable on the outside and capable as the secondary back, the speed back. But will they keep him to do so? We'll give our verdict on that towards the end, and we're going to look at the Detroit running back usage in a second. But tell the kids about Roschon Johnson, too. Let's fold in Roschon,
Yeah, Roschon Johnson this year, 55 carries on the year. This number will probably surprise you. 150 yards.
Man.
I know. That's 2.7 yards per carry. What he did have, and it was like a mini revelation, was 6 touchdowns. And I know 6 touchdowns. But remember, it took a while for the Bears to get going and just go bread and butter instead of being cute at the goal line. They finally started giving the football to Roschon Johnson. God's play. Exactly. God's play it was. So that was really, you know, the only thing I could say. Like, when you look at Roschon Johnson's year and say, yeah, he knew how to get in the end zone when they finally gave him the opportunity.
Hey, governor, let's go, man.
the governor. And
hi, it's Dave.
Roschon, to me, when I look at Roschon, he's not attacking enough. Like, he's got some of that skill set in short yardage like we're talking about. And he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he can block, but he's like a solid third running back to me. Like, I'd be fine if he's your third running back, but he is not your first or your second running back.
He could be a one. Like Tanny and I were just talking, he didn't attack because he's not on the field.
Yeah, no, I disagree. I don't think he can be a one.
No, I don't think so either.
I do not think so.
There was a time that people thought he could potentially be that just because
he's a stud.
He played behind Bijan Robinson at Texas. And everybody thought, oh, wait till this guy. I mean, if he didn't have Bijan Robinson to mess with, this guy. I remember from the beginning, and like, this is no attack on him, Roschon Johnson, because he's a nice guy, good guy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But everybody was saying, oh yeah, look out for this guy, Roschon, man. He's the guy they like. He's the guy they want. And Roschon has just been eh.
Yeah, and he also, after the concussion, he played with the extra helmet, and you wondered if that affected his willingness to get into the mix and do some of the dirty work
Well. Did you feel that way? I didn't necessarily.
The Indians cap, according to Tanny.
What?
They call it the Guardians cap.
The Guardians cap. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
But I didn't even get the Indians reference. I didn't get it.
Because like, Cleveland Guardians.
Because that's what they were called.
No, I know, but like, never mind.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, in the first place.
I tried too hard. Sorry about that.
Bears. It's okay. I felt that
clean
way.
Clean the palate. Sorry about that.
Palate cleanser. I mean, say it when you feel it.
The radio palate cleanser.
So in terms of what they will do, let's listen to DeAndre Swift when asked during the year about his potential to adapt to a different running style. This is as the offensive coordinator changes were swirling and as the Bears' needs were changing. This is after the Patriots game.
I haven't been asked to do anything. I feel as though I'm adjusting to anything that I need to adjust to. If I need to lower my pads and get 3 yards and run people, make people, whatever I need to do is what I'm going to do.
So DeAndre Swift, good dude, good pro, Right? Wouldn't you say,
came
Grody,
across that way, yes.
Based was, on the year. And Olden Kruetz called him out for that kind of thing during the course of the year in a positive way as well.
Oh, absolutely. No, no. He kept to himself. There were many times where he would politely decline to speak to us and not in the bad way. I don't like you guys. I don't want to talk to you guys way. So he was quiet. And yeah, I guess I would gather that. Like, he's a guy, like, I feel like I don't really know him that well, but professional is probably a good word for DeAndre Swift. Yeah.
And then we go to what Detroit did. We all know about Jahmyr Gibbs, who ran for 1,412 yards. We know that that David Montgomery had a big year as well. David Montgomery didn't get to even 900 or 800. Maybe got to 800. It was right there towards it. But with the injury, he got to 775. They probably would have had 2,000 yard backs if David Montgomery did not get hurt.
God.
And what Ben Johnson does, there's a lot of motion in his offense historically. A lot of motion, a lot of play action at an extremely high rate. And the running back usage affects how a defense thinks. Listen to this. This is Kevin Byard, Bears safety Kevin Byard, talking about Ben Johnson's offense from the safety, the veteran safety's perspective.
This team goes through their running backs. Like, just point blank period, you know, obviously Jared Goff is a really great quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's having a phenomenal year this year. He's not turned the ball. I mean, he had one game where he threw five picks, but other than that, he really hasn't been turning the ball over. His completion rating is probably the top in the league. But like I said, he's been distributing the ball to all his playmakers. But this team wants to run the ball with Demo and Jahmyr Gibbs, and then obviously get the ball to 14 and Sam Laporta when they can, and obviously taking shots with Jamison Williams. So we know what they want to do, but it's another thing to go out there and stop it.
It's interesting. So when he says it goes through their running backs and all keys on the running backs, he's not just talking about when they get the ball. He's talking about when those running backs go in motion, when those running backs are used in play action. It's a little window into how active and important they are for Ben.
Yeah, and we'll see if Ben Johnson can get the Bears whatever the running backs consist of, and if it is him, if they can get him to do that dance. I always get, I don't know, man. Maybe it's because I've heard it enough from past Bears coaches and offensive coordinators about the idea of calibrating an offense based on the personnel.
Absolutely.
And then we never see it. Now, Ben Johnson is different from those guys in terms of who he is and what he has accomplished than some of those guys, like a Luke Getsy. You know, guy like past offensive coordinators who talked a big game
about
doing that same thing. So I'm a little bit traumatized from past OCs and QB coaches and whomever to actually just believe it and say Ben Johnson is going to take care of this. But there are actual examples, at least with Ben Johnson, to suggest that he can do the same things and actually calibrate offense around the talent that he has.
Well, to your point, the offensive line in Detroit, and we'll do offensive line at some point in this segment of Ben's Vision, you're listening to Spiegel and Holmes, that line blocks in wide zone, that line has blocked in inside zone, that line has blocked using gap scheme, like three different styles that they've been comfortable doing. So he's got a big playbook and he'll adjust that. Here's an interesting thing about their running back usage. With those two great running backs, would you think they were ever on the field that much together? So we talk about that a lot on teams with two good running backs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be 21 personnel, two running backs and one tight end, or 22 personnel. They never once ran that. Two running backs, two tight ends.
Wow.
So 21. There's just six teams in the NFL over 10% at running 21 personnel this past year, okay? The Niners use two running backs, usually the fullback, Juszczyk. The Dolphins, the Ravens, often a fullback with Derrick Henry. The Saints, the Chargers with Harbaugh and Greg Roman, and the Vikings. Those are the only six teams over 10%. The Lions, only 1.6%, down at 19th in the NFL. The Bears, 24th at 0.6%. So it's not like Ben Johnson, even with two great running backs, used him that much in the same backfield, like, ever.
But think about this, too. The amount of times that the Lions used two running backs, it wasn't always Gibbs and Montgomery. It was also Penei Sewell. They put him back there.
Against the Bears.
Yeah, yes. It's probably true. He would be listed as the running back.
Every game, I think he might have had a snap in the backfield.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
I could be wrong about every game, but it was often.
Yeah,
they threw to him against the Bears.
Yes,
remember that? Against that was that Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah.
Could they trade for Penei Sewell? Say, hey, but we want him as a running back. We promise we won't use him at tackle. And you think the Lions would sign off on it?
Right.
Well, make sure. For sure we won't misuse him in that regard.
or just make sure Doug Kramer can hold the ball. And use Doug Kramer
NBL instead. And make sure everybody knows he's eligible. Yeah, I mean, eligible.
That's the thing. It's not like they used a fullback in Detroit. It's not. Those of you who are clamoring for a fullback in the Ben Johnson Bears version of the backfield, I don't think you're going to get
it. The game just got himself a Super Bowl ring, though.
He did.
Kari Blassen game.
Yes, he did. So, look.
The game did of like the 50 Cent crew?
No, man. There's a different game in town now.
I don't know what they call them the game. It's, I like that. So you learn something new every day when you got someone on the Bears beat here. I love that.
The game.
I call him the game. I think I'm the only one who calls him the game.
Well, that's fine. That's where it starts.
I would be in the locker room, and you know, we kind of huddle up in the locker room and other reporters talking to each other. I remember saying to a couple of them, hey, hold on a second, guys. I'm going to go talk to the game. They're like, what's the game?
What was the song, Tanny, that the game did with 50 Cent?
Card did like practically a hater to love it.
Oh no, you're thinking of In the Club, not In the Game. You got it wrong. In the Club.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I think Hater to Love It.
Yeah. Sorry.
Speaks.
What about
yes? Back on track.
I know. It's my. I'm so used to it not being my role.
Here, wait.
Let's be honest. So, I'm so used to being part of the chorus that's getting either Danny or Lawrence off the track and having fun and waiting for them to drive it back. This is a strange spot for me. I'm going to be brutally honest here.
Yo.
Yeah.
We were talking about...
Thanks, Grody.
I can see it, though. New podcast. Kari Blassen game and Mark Grody. Spitting game.
Yeah, spitting game.
No.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Grody in the game.
Here's a couple things about DeAndre Swift. Traded away by the Lions.
Yes.
When Ben Johnson was there. DeAndre Swift traded away by the Eagles. Both times he was about to get paid. Now he's been paid, and you have him paid. We've got, the dead cap number, if they release him before June 1st, it'll be $8.7 million. If they trade him before June 1st, it's only $2.6 million as a dead cap. If they release him after June 1st, it's $7.4 million. If they trade him after June 1st, it's $1.3 million. A trade away of DeAndre Swift for a late-round draft pick would not surprise me at all. Mm. And then the Bears going out and getting two new running backs.
Wow, okay.
Verdict time.
For
you, Mark Grody, and for me, what do you do with DeAndre Swift? I have my thoughts. What are yours?
I keep him. I keep him and this year, and I want to see what Ben Johnson can do. I want to see what Ben Johnson calibrating DeAndre Swift to whatever the Bears offense is. I want to see what that looks like. However, you definitely either draft a running back or bring in a running back, whomever becomes available, whoever, maybe somebody is out there.
Yeah.
Be ready. Be ready for if Edward Alzolay goes bad, you have Hector Neris standing right there for you. And then maybe that won't work either. But
history says.
Yes, at least have that ready to go. Keep him.
Okay, understood. My verdict is that it's possible Swift could be like the older version of Jahmyr Gibbs as a change of pace guy and game breaker. The Bears need a new lead running back.
Keep him, don't depend on him.
I'd be
is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah. But I'm saying that's a possibility. Okay. So actually, I'd be fine with two new ones. I'd be good with the trade away of DeAndre Swift and two new running backs.
Okay.
One in free agency and one in the draft. I think for sure one in the draft. It's a very deep running back class, and we'll have time to focus on that as the draft approaches. Here are some of the free agents out there. Najee Harris from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Javonte Williams, the former Denver Bronco, interests me. And then there's some bargain attempts like J.K. Dobbins, who hasn't been able to stay healthy, but when he's been good, he's been good. Nick Chubb coming off the injury and the recovery in Cleveland.
I kind of like the Nick Chubb idea, depending on how healthy he is.
All those guys are going to be...
Chubb's a badass.
Chubb's a badass if he can actually play.
Right.
Dobbins is a badass if he can actually play. And if you're also drafting one and keeping Roschon as your third running back or even your fourth running back, back, because I think that's all he is. But I think they're definitely going to draft one, and maybe they will keep Swift, because maybe it takes a couple years, and right. it's more cost-effective to keep Swift. But at the very least, draft one, and we'll do that as a separate down the road.
And I can't wait to see what does happen, and that's when we start to find out how Ben Johnson really feels, because we could play back what he said at his press conference, and we could kind of follow along with what he's thinking and what he's saying, but we really have no idea. He may want no part of DeAndre Swift.
I have this suspicion that he doesn't want any part of DeAndre Swift, and I think it's possible this might be the first guy we're talking about in a Ben's Vision segment that does stand as an emblem of the split between Ryan Poles, who went out and got DeAndre Swift and pay him, and Ben Johnson, who was part of the Lions when they traded him away.
Wow. Or could Ben Johnson be like, hey man, I'm Ben Johnson. I can get this to work. Well, I can take your player, Ryan Poles, who's still under contract, for whom there is a cap hit,
right,
and I can make him way better than he was last year. So it's like the Craig Council. I keep doing Cubs analogies here. It's like the Craig Council hiring. Is Craig Council, they're just going to pour resources into it, or are they going to say, hey Craig, do what you did with Milwaukee Brewers. Do what you did there.
He can take his'n and beat your'n, and he can take your'n and beat his'n.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Not with all the in silliness that you just did, but that's what I'm saying.
I think DeAndre Swift is a fascinating dividing line, potentially, on Ben's vision. He is Mark Rohde. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. Let's talk about coaching vision and the late Dick Geron and much more with the former Bears safety Mike Brown. That'll be fun on The Score coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.